Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Matthew Appleby, Horticulture Week's editor, and today for Horticulture Week's podcast, I'm with Countrywide Ground Maintenance's Managing Director, Paul McEwen. Now, Paul is an expert in grounds maintenance and horticulture, having forged his career path in the industry ever since he left school. Before joining Countrywide, Paul held the Managing Director role at PHS Greenleaf, where he directed multiple operational processes of the group's portfolio. And before this, Paul worked at Floratech as UK Operations Director. So, welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Matt. Nice to be here.
Brilliant. Now, so, Paul, how did you get into the industry?
I started as an apprentice gardener way back when. I won't give you which year that was, Matt. But as a young boy, I had asthma quite badly. So I went to a residential school. And in this residential school, my favourite topic of the week was looking after the allotments. And so when I left the school, most of my mates up in the northeast at the time were joining the shipyards. And that was never something I really fancied doing. I always wanted to be working outside. So an opportunity came up to join the local authority as an apprentice gardener, and that's what I did. And I've been in the industry ever since.
Ah, brilliant. I detected a tinge of a northeast accent there. People often ask me if I'm a Geordie, but I'm not. I'm from Cumbria. But whereabouts are you from over the other side?
Yeah, I'm from a little place called Hebbin, which is sort of halfway between Newcastle and South Shields.
Oh, brilliant. No, I saw that.
Proper Geordie.
Well, I saw my team, Carlisle United, beat Hebbin the other day.
Did you?
In a pre-season warm-up. But so they should. They're a few divisions higher.
Yeah.
Anyway. Moving on from obscure northern football.
I haven't mentioned my team yet.
Who's your team?
Sunderland.
Ah, right. Well, we're not obscure Europe, northern football there. We're in the big league.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope they get promoted this season. I'm sure they will. After missing out. Anyway, right. Let's go on to Countrywide and their journey. And so what are the goals for the future at Countrywide Grounds Maintenance? Where are you heading?
I think the goals for our future is to continue to grow, to increase our revenues and to increase our footprint throughout the UK. And to continue to offer additional services to our wide customer base. And I think we're quite unique in our coverage. You know, we have 46 different locations throughout the UK. So we have real UK-wide coverage, including Scotland, including Wales, and including, you know, way down in Devon and Cornwall. So I think the opportunities are there for us to continue our growth. And that's where, you know, I think offering more service to our existing customers as well as adding new customers is where I see the opportunity with Countrywide.
What sort of new services can you offer?
Well, I think certainly at the moment we're offering things like ground maintenance. I think we can increase our portfolio over specific landscape projects. We can increase our portfolio of winter maintenance projects. And I think there's other opportunities in the interior plants division and even supplying Christmas trees. I think it's another possible opportunity that we could look at. In addition, hanging baskets, summer bedding, again, is another growth area where I think we can offer that service to our existing and new clients.
Great. It sounds like there's plenty of chances to grow the business there. But how did the business get on in the last year and a half through the crisis of the pandemic?
Well, again, I think very similar to our industry. I think Countrywide survived really well through the pandemic. Obviously, you know, horticulture and grounds and the maintenance of the landscapes were seen as a vital tool for the country through lockdown. People having the opportunity to go out and visit parks and gardens was really a lifesaver for a lot of people. So we continued offering all our services throughout the lockdown, throughout the pandemic. And all the while, you know, some customers were closing or weren't in their offices or weren't in their schools. You know, the grounds maintenance still required being done, still required completion, and we just carried on working. We obviously put in place the appropriate safety measures, and particularly in relation to teams and teams going out and single teams and vans as opposed to double teams, the usual measures with hygiene and face masks. But we really lucky in our industry to continue to serve our customers throughout the last year and a half.
No, that's good news. And how close are things to getting back to normal now?
Well, yeah, it's gradually getting back to normal. Not without its difficulties. You know, there's some restrictions around visits, particularly around schools, that we've had to be flexible and work around. But certainly normality is gradually returning. And I guess once offices are fully populated, then we will be back to I guess, up to full speed. We're not quite there yet. Hospitality is again reopening slowly now. I think the industry is in a really good place to bounce back.
Ah, brilliant. Now, I know you've got a new structure to do with Community First. So can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, again, I think one of our real USPs, Matt, is the fact that we do have 46 locations throughout the UK where we work, and our regional managers or local people employed in the local area, they are employing local people. So they're investing back into the local community. We're recruiting, we're spending money in the local community, and then we also like to get involved in any sort of social, you know, community-based projects wherever we can. For instance, we've done, you know, provide work experience and garden lessons for people with special needs students. Something that's really close to my heart, because I actually have two boys who have special needs. So to get involved in projects like that is a real plus for me. And we've also been involved in providing staff to community centres, community hospitals, and providing staff free labour and also providing the equipment and materials. So it's an area, again, I think, you know, local communities we like to get heavily involved in. You know, and because we cover the whole of the UK with our 46 network of regional managers, it makes perfect sense to get involved in the community.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's really giving something back. Now, just moving on, our most recent podcast was with Adrian Wickham and Tessa Johnston from Barley, and we were talking about increasing diversity in the industry, and I know that's something that you're interested in too. So How are you going about doing that?
Well, I think it's, for me, starting off as an apprentice, I think it's really looking at how do we attract people into the industry, you know, linking up with colleges and putting in specific training programs to attract people, linking up with schools to attract people into the industry. And also where I've been involved before in a previous role is getting involved with offenders, so people on parole or previous offenders, and giving them the opportunity to get back into employment and access and training. So we're really looking very closely at that.
That sounds good. So how have you found recruitment recently? How have you managed with that?
Really difficult. This year has been really difficult. I think recruitment in our industry has been difficult for a long time, hence our sort of priority on apprenticeships and training. But this year has been really difficult. And I'm not sure if it's a fallout from the pandemic or a fallout from the furlough scheme still being in place. But we have certainly found it difficult to recruit staff this year.
And are there any solutions you've got for that? Any other ideas that you've managed to get around that recruitment problem with?
I think it's bringing fresh blood into the industry. I think it's looking outside of the box. You know, we've discussed the apprenticeship scheme, but it's also looking at mature students or mature people, and people looking for a career change. And really, you know, showing ourselves to be an attractive alternative industry for people to come into, and ensuring that we give them the appropriate training and insight into the industry to try and attract them.
Oh, yeah. And that ex-offender pathway is interesting. How do you go about that? How do you manage that one?
Well, it's linking up with the appropriate employment agencies who have links into prisons. When I was in the previous role, we actually carried out maintenance, the grounds maintenance of a lot of prisons. So it was an easy add-on to then start talking to, you know, people that were coming up for parole and getting them involved in the maintenance of the prison, and also, you know, taking them to other prisons and getting them involved in the maintenance here. So it's quite an easy add-on and link up. And it's about engaging with the right partners to really drive that forward.
Ah, right, okay. Well, that's certainly an interesting route that people can think a bit more about. Now, another thing you're doing, which I guess maybe cuts manpower a bit, is using more electric machinery. So what are you doing? How are you going about that one?
Well, again, we're just looking at everything. I guess from this sounds corny, from a root and branch review of what equipment we're using, what effect that has on staff health and safety wise, what effect it has on the vibration, and then trying to switch to battery operated or electric powered machinery. You've got obviously the environmental impact of not using, you know, petrol or two-stroke, but also the impact it has on the machinery user as well and the amount of time that they can use it. So we're looking at contract by contract, region by region, and carrying out an assessment of where we can replace traditional hedge trimmers, strimmers, mowers, and replace them with battery or electric-operated machinery.
Ah, now I know a lot of our listeners and readers would want to know how you go about choosing which brands of machinery you use. So how do you go about that?
Well, we do an assessment. We do an assessment of the machine. We obviously have close relationships and link up with dealers. So we look at all the data for each of this machinery, the vibration, you know, obviously cost is a factor, lifespan is a factor. Maintenance is a factor, so we carry out an assessment of all this machinery in talks with the dealers, and then we pick the best machine that we think for that particular job.
Ah, brilliant. Now I know that Barley and other organizations have been working hard looking at what size the industry could be if there was appropriate government investment, including appropriate government investment in training. And you've got a commitment to educating the next generation. So can you tell us a bit more about that, how you are planning to get that next generation fully up to speed and up to spec with what they need to know?
Well, we're Barley members, so we link closely and we work with Barley on schemes such as apprenticeships. And there's a new apprenticeship formula for grounds maintenance and for horticulture. So we link into that and use those criteria and guidelines as well. And I guess our aim here is to have an apprentice on every contract that we maintain. So, as I said earlier, 46 locations throughout the UK, numerous contracts with various clients within that. And we will obviously link up with colleges, schools, and the appropriate horticultural colleges to attract those apprenticeships and then train them through. And I think it's important to have a clear career path for these apprentices as well. So you've got a plan of where these apprentices are going to go and where they're going to end up. And I think that would certainly make it a more attractive market. As for the industry as a whole and you know, the investment from government, again, I think it's got to be a joined up approach with, you know, leading people like Barley, so we can actually attract the right people into the industry. And I think, again, you know, the pandemic has shown what an important industry it is, and that's shown over the last 12 months. And hopefully that will stand us in good stead as we look to attract new entrants.
Now that's all good news. Now, coming towards the close, what we always ask in the Horticulture Week podcast
is... This is a tough one.
Oh, it's what plant would you take to a desert island? That's what we're asking. Paul, can you give us what you think you would be unable to survive without on a desert island?
Mine's going to be a very boring one, I think. But I started my career, as I said earlier, as an apprentice, and I worked in the glasshouses and the greenhouses, where we used to grow lots of plants and lots of bedding plants, and then involved a lot of times in planting out massive bedding schemes. And my favorite plant is actually flower. It's always been the geranium. And every house I've moved to, every garden I've done, I've always had lots of geraniums. My borders and pots are full of geraniums now as we speak. And I don't think I could go to a desert island without a geranium or some sort of book or history of Sunderland Football Club as well. I'd take them both.
It's history of Sunderland Football Club.
And I've been to Brunton Park a few times, Matt, as well.
Well, we nurtured Charlie Wyke, who sadly has now left Sunderland, but what a great striker he was. But anyway, he's off to Wigan now, crikey, so God knows why he's gone there.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Excellent. So, a geranium, what a great choice, and 46 locations and opportunities looking ahead for countrywide grounds maintenance, having managed and coped during a pandemic and now look into the future, so everything's looking good there. So thank you very much to Paul McEwen, and I'm Matthew Appleby, and thanks very much for listening to the Horticulture Week podcast, and make sure you never miss one, because you can subscribe to or follow Horticulture Week podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. So once again, thanks very much for listening, and goodbye until next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.